And good afternoon, good evening. Welcome into Sports Talk on a Tuesday evening. Scott Beatty and Lauren Tate here. Where am I? I'm
in
here.
Champaign, Illinois.
I'm in Champaign. Been all over the place here lately. Thanks to everybody that's been filling in when I've been absent for Illinois baseball. One more trip coming up for me this weekend.
You did a good job.
Yeah, I know. I'm 6-3. I'm 6-3.
Three national championship teams you beat. That's pretty good.
Last year I went on the early season trips and came back and went to the next home game, their first home game, and Hartlib saw me and goes, "You're bad luck. Get out of here." Maybe this year he'll want to keep me around. Yeah, Illinois baseball is doing well, and we will talk with Drew Dickinson, pitching coach for the Illini, coming up this hour about the Illini's early season success and much more. Lauren and I with you here, and certainly some time, as always, to chime in. 356-9397 is the number to call. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Let's get you some of the headlines. Sectional semifinals tonight in Class 3A boys basketball. Champaign Central is taking on Springfield Lanphier. It's a 7 o'clock tip. Winner plays the winner of Mahomet Seymour and Springfield Southeast. The Central Maroons have a history recently of stumbling against Springfield teams, although our Colin Likas favors Central slightly in this matchup.
This is going to be a battle tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And Central certainly has the talent to keep going and make a good run, see how they play. Awards galore here for some spring sports. Michael Massey, Illinois' second baseman, gets Big Ten Player of the Week after hitting .500 over this past weekend and winning the Big Ten Pac-12 MVP. In that challenge, the Illini beat UCLA, Arizona, and Washington over the weekend. They've won 5 in a row. And tennis, Alex Brown for the men. He's the Big Ten Athlete of the Week. He went 4-0 in the Illini's wins over TCU and Virginia. Women's gymnastics gets an honor for Nicole Biondi as the co-freshman of the week for the Big Ten. She won the all-around and floor titles in Illinois' meet on Sunday against Lindenwood and Bowling Green University. Let's do baseball. Outfielder John Jay gets $3 million, a one-year contract with the Kansas City Royals, previously with the Cubs and before that the Cardinals. Cubs' Yu Darvish made his spring debut today, allowing a run without a hit while striking out 4 L.A. Dodgers in 2 innings against his former team. He had an erratic first inning, but he struck out the side, but also walked 2 and threw 2 wild pitches, including one that didn't score a run. So a little bit of everything there for Yu Darvish. Some NFL news. The Bears have put the transition tag on veteran defensive back Kyle Fuller. They now have a chance to match any offer he might get in free agency. The Pittsburgh Steelers put the all-franchise tag on all-pro running back Le'Veon Bell. And NFL referee Ed Hockley is retiring. He'll be replaced by Sean Hockley. That's his son, who was a back judge. He'll get bumped up to be referee.
How about that?
Goodbye to the biceps.
Boy, he was good.
And strong.
Yeah.
So that's some of what is going on. But, of course, the buzz around here is Mark Smith and his departure. It was less than a year ago where we were all on cloud 9 with the signing of Mark Smith, Mr. Basketball, to be an orange and blue Illini, and it just didn't work. And he has asked for his transfer, and he was granted it yesterday. And I don't know where he's going, but the Illini, it just depends on who you ask. Some people think this is really bad or really bad look. Others, I mean, obviously you
well,
didn't have a great
a
scene.
Look. Yeah, the look is not good, but that doesn't, you know, we're imagining that he has the ability to play at the college level the way he played at the high school level, and that did not appear likely.
If he is what he was this year, it's not a big loss basketball-wise.
Well, he didn't have a breakdown dribble. He didn't have a pull-up jump shot. He's got a good stroke. He can make free throws. He can make threes if he could get open. The problem is he couldn't get open. And quickness is the key. Quickness and the ability to leap, and he didn't have those things.
I agree, but I think there was a bigger problem, and that was he just looked lost at times out there.
Yeah.
He just didn't look like he was ever comfortable. Fouls would be called on him, and he would look confused. Something happened, and I'm not sure what it was, but he just... And you know, well, it's no secret that Underwood's a tough guy. He's a tough coach to play for.
Oh, I think that part's true, too. I think that he may have become depressed by so much criticism, and the criticism was legitimate, but maybe he wasn't used to that. I'm sure he wasn't used to that. Not when everybody's lauding you and you're, you know, the player of the year. But there's shortcomings here that it's going to be hard for him to overcome if he stays at this level. Now, I think that if he's careful and picks the right school, as we've seen other players move down a notch or so, maybe he won't. Maybe he'll go to Missouri. Maybe he'll go to Kansas State. I don't know. When I went to see him last year play, Bruce Weber was there. Bruce Weber mm-hmm. recruited him hard and, of course, didn't get him and would be still in the ballgame maybe.
Here's the thing. You know, when you were around him, you didn't get the sense this guy's a showboat, that he thought it was all about me, but he had all this on his shoulders, this Mr. Basketball, and he really hadn't played as much basketball as a lot of other guys that come in to Division I level because of his baseball background. And I just think maybe it was just too much for a freshman, and there's something maybe in the wiring that's different from him from a guy like Trent Frazier. We asked Trent Frazier midway through the season, why are things going well for you? Why not for Mark Smith? And Trent Frazier straight up said, I've got confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I've got confidence. Mark Smith never had that.
You know what? I use this all the time. When I play with my son-in-law, Joe Burden, in golf, I don't have confidence. You know why? He's better than me. They say, well, Lauren, you know, you should have confidence. You can do it. No, I can't do it. He's way better. Look, Frazier's way better than Mark Smith. That's all there is to it. I mean, he's quicker. He can get open. He can get other guys the ball. Smith doesn't block shots. He doesn't get assists. He doesn't do all the things necessary for that you need a point guard to do. And his dad wanted Illinois to put the ball in his hands, so to speak, with Frazier would be second guard and he would be first guard. That won't work. He's not good enough.
Parents should not have any influence in these kinds of things. And I know the coaches don't let them in, but...
Yeah, well, here's the problem. The parents have influenced him for 18 consecutive years.
Yeah.
Right through high school.
Yeah, and I say that with...
It's not that easy to separate them.
I understand that. And I'm thinking back now to 19, when I was 19. And back, by the way, Smith isn't even 19 yet. And I'm thinking about, you know, there's times when you have to start to go, where do I need to not rebel, but make my own choices? Because sometimes you know what's better for yourself than your parents do. Sometimes your parents know a lot more than you do, but you're in that transition period of trying to figure out who you are.
I think they're both in agreement on this.
Yeah,
I think they've been in agreement on this since midseason. I heard this way back, months ago, that he would be leaving. His dad quit coming to the games, and they were upset, very unhappy. And people that talked to him knew he was unhappy, the dad I'm talking about. Now, Mark didn't say anything, but...
To his credit.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, he was very unhappy.
Yeah, he just never looked himself. He never looked comfortable. Smith told Greg Shoshak from the Telegraph down in Alton that I just don't fit the system. That's a curious word to use, because when you think of the word system, you think of the offense and how things are being run on the floor. But I don't think it was a bad fit in a basketball system. I think it was a bad fit at Illinois right now.
Well, I don't know that the way he played this year, he would fit in any system.
Exactly. So, you know,
that his departure, in my mind, does not make Illinois any less of a team next year. I think they're recruiting over the top of him. I think they're intentionally trying to bring in players to replace him anyway. I think this was a done deal a long time ago. And I think that, I just think that Illinois they've got to keep the next big rumor, you know, is Black, because Black sees the opportunity to turn pro and play in Europe and make some money next year. And the key thing for Illinois is retaining Black if they can. And if they don't, Illinois is headed for second division deep again next year.
I don't see any improvement if you lose LaRon Black. Great, Io's coming here. Maybe you get Courtney Ramey or Tavian Jones.
The front line is already weak, even with Black there.
It's just porous. You know, just you're going to have to spot Illinois 15 points just to be competitive in the Big Ten games.
Yeah. Well, I've said this before. I said this earlier. When you allow as many layups as Illinois does with the type of defense they play, I'm sure they broke a school record on giving up layups this year. You need a basket defender. Black is not that. He fouls too much in the first place. He doesn't block shots. Illinois has nobody that blocks shots. They have nobody to defend the basket. So when they play out of position, they try to get out of position to get steals, overplay to get steals, a better way of saying it. You've got a problem at the basket, and they need a leaper. They need somebody that can deflect the ball.
They're going to go find somebody. There's going to be somebody that's going to come play. But the question is, are they going to find somebody that's going to be adequate for what you need? Where are they, and will they come here?
Hey, most of the players have already signed. We're in that period of signing where when, you know, like, for instance, Courtney Ramey is regarded the number one point guard in the nation remaining.
Mm-hmm.
And he's top 40. So there's, you know, 39 other guys.
So is Mark Smith.
Yeah. But I think that Ramey's quickness, explosiveness, make it, he's the type of player that will convert to college. I never called Smith explosive.
You didn't.
And I never call him as a setup guy for other players. He's not. In other words, Lucas can do that. Lucas can drive to the basket and kick. That's one thing he did. That's why he got as many assists as he did. And I'm not suggesting that you can have a guard out there that can't shoot, because that's not good either. Every player that they have has some kind of weakness. And the problem is finding some players that don't have those kind of glaring weaknesses.
So we'll see what comes. Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done here for...
They're recruiting their tails off right now.
Oh, yeah. This is where...
And have been.
One question is, can Illini fans withstand another losing season?
May not have a choice.
Yeah, they may not. Let's see if we can squeeze in a phone call here, and I forgot to bring up my screen here, so I'm just going to go ahead and see what we get, or I'll wait for Blake here. He's coming to tell me this anyway. But Drew Dickinson is coming up.
Rick from Mattoon.
All right, here we go. Rick from Mattoon. Rick from Mattoon. Hey, Rick.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. Good show. You guys are more privy to the inside information that we are. All we get are the same blogs, the same rumors that you guys get. I've got, two questions. At what point in the season does it become inevitable that a player does not work out for the program, and who ultimately makes that decision? Does the coach go to the player, or does the player go to the coach? And the other question is, in regards to all the rumors and all the blogs, obviously Illini fans don't feel that this exodus of transfers is over.
Oh, no.
And in honesty, tell me who you guys feel will be leaving the program next. I know that Coach has been throwing offers out like you wouldn't believe, and 2 weeks ago I couldn't understand why, and now I do understand why.
All right. Well, thanks, Rick.
I think it's pretty well accepted that Vasile's going to go back to Slovenia, or I don't think he'll be here next year. I'm pretty sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Lucas, and I don't know about Black.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't have any hard information reportable to say, yes, this guy's leaving, this guy's leaving, but all the rumors that go out there come from something, and a lot of them turn out to be true. Now, as for who approaches who, I think in this case, Mark Smith approached Brad Underwood. I don't think there was any indication that Brad Underwood wanted Mark Smith gone.
That's correct. I think he felt this way about the freshman, that you got to give him more time. It's really a bad, and I do this all the time, you know, you make form opinions about freshmen, it's too early.
Yeah.
If you form an opinion about Frazier in the first 10 games, you would not have him. You would not have the same mindset about him that you do now.
No,
I think he went something like 4-for-30 on 3-point shots at the beginning of the season.
Oh yeah,
his statistics are low, but the second half he's terrific. Now he shows you what he can do. Kipper Nichols showed some more in the second half of the season. Now he wasn't a freshman, but I think that it's really dangerous to give up on freshmen, and it doesn't always make sense for a freshman to give up on themselves.
Third best scoring season ever for an Illini freshman, Trent Frazier. All right, we will switch gears to baseball. When we come back, Drew Dickinson from Illinois Baseball will join us, And we've got more. We'll talk a little Illinois football yet this hour and catch up more with you as well.
Fly ball, shallow center. Taylor in, Massey out. Taylor calls for it, puts the squeeze on, and that's the ball game. You better believe it. 5 wins in a row for Illinois. A perfect weekend here against the Pac-12. Wins over UCLA, Arizona, and now Washington. 7-1 is the final.
Yeah, that was a nice weekend for Illinois baseball, and they've won 5 in a row. Some things starting to click for them. 6-3 in the early going. They head to South Carolina this weekend. We welcome to the phones pitching coach Drew Dickinson. Drew, last year, this is what you got to love about college baseball. Last year, not the start you wanted, not maybe the season overall you wanted. Guys get better. That's got to be fun.
Yeah, it's always fun that way. That's usually the plan. You know, when like last year we played a bunch of young guys, you hope that they take those experiences, bad and good, and turn it into more success with each year. And so far, I feel like we're seeing that a little bit, and I still think as a pitching staff, we're just scratching the surface.
We talked early on, and kind of the question around this team was, hey, there was a lot of talent last year. Now can they put it together and start winning? What do you see that says this is a winning mentality, this is a winning ball club for the season, not just a hot streak they're on right now?
Right, and that's kind of what you just said is what I mean. That, you know, amongst other coaches and other people I've talked to, always ask, well, how's your club going to be this year? And I just always simply say, very talented club, both on both sides of the baseball, but a group of guys who have never won. And how do you teach winning? You can't. You have to win to understand how to learn how to win. So for me, it was always this team. I think could take off as soon as we find a way to win a game or two games. And when we got to Coastal Carolina, which I don't really count that first weekend in St. Louis as much because it was kind of just a hectic week. But that Coastal Carolina weekend, you know, beating them on Saturday, it was kind of like, okay, there you go. You can beat a good team. You're good enough. And then we came out the next day and won. And then now, you know, last weekend, we just kept getting better this past weekend. And now we won 5 in a row against 5 really good teams, which is I like even more because it shows you can play with anybody in the country.
Drew, this is Lauren. I'm watching the pitching awfully close because I think you got 8 good players in the field and veteran. You got a lot of experience in the field, and the pitching's fairly young. And the only thing I was concerned about in reading the box scores, I didn't see the games, is the number of strikeouts. It looks like getting outs and getting out of innings, but sometimes if you don't get strikeouts, the balls find a way of getting in. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. You know, the first game we had, well, I think we had 4 walks and 8 Ks, which is, you know, 8 Ks is a lot in a 9-inning game.
Yeah.
And the next day, I think it was, I'm not sure, 0 and 8 as well. So the one day, I think I did the same thing as you did, is look at that last game, and you're like, oh, 3 strikeouts. You know, that's just one game. But hey, we also have one of the best defenses in the country. Coming from a pitching staff that last year, that was our bugaboo, was we just walked way too many guys. And so, if anything, I'm willing to throw the ball down the middle opposed to walking somebody right now. And once you do that as a pitcher, then you learn to go, okay, I can throw a ball down the middle for, you know, per se, and, hey, it gets ahead of people, and we make plays. So then you start to relax a little bit and then pitch to better spots. Then your strikeouts will come. For me, I don't care about the strikeouts right now. All I care about is not walking people, because if you don't walk people, you win games. And that's what I want to see out of our staff and whatnot. If you look at our starting staff, they're not like big strikeout guys anyway, but their guys are going to pound the strike zone. All of our strikeouts are going to come on our back end of our bullpen, which I think, if you look, are lights out, shut down guys, and that's fine. That's how most bullpen guys, you know, should be. I want our starters to get deep in the game, give us a chance to win, and then handle that bullpen. That bullpen is lights out.
Yeah, so, you're getting plenty of strikeouts from those guys. I think Guerrero struck out, 4 out of 6 that he faced in the 9th inning.
Yeah. Yep, Ryan Thompson has like 8 or 9 strikeouts in 8 innings. So, yeah, that's what you want. You want to see those guys have more swing and miss stuff. And of course, I'd love to have some starters with swing and miss stuff. And I think Andy Fisher does. And Starskis, you know, can be a little bit. He's more of a, you know, pitch to contact guy, but is always down in the zone. We have a few other guys who could start that have more swing and miss stuff than the 3 that have started this past weekend. But they just haven't been as consistent as throwing strikes. And if you can't throw strikes, I don't care how great your stuff is, you don't throw strikes, you cannot win.
Talking with Drew Dickinson, pitching coach for Illinois. When you think about prospects on the roster, particularly pitchers, the first one that comes to mind is Joey Gerber. He's the one that turns heads. He's the one the guns are all up there in Minneapolis last weekend when he was doing 1-2-3 save opportunities. What have you seen from Gerber? Where is he going? You know, what direction is his stock moving?
Well, his stock's moving up, obviously. And, you know, everybody loved him in the fall because each year his velo has gotten better, which, and you expect and hope from each guy to come in and develop. You get bigger, you get stronger, and you're both physically and your arm. And he's done that, kept making, you know, more velo ticks, and he's an interesting cat because you watch him, a lot of scouts watch him throw, especially in the fall and now, and the common sentiment is you could put him in a big league bullpen right now and you wouldn't know any better. If he was throwing a big league game, you would think he was part of a big league roster or he looked the part. Which he has, you know, in Coastal Carolina, he was up to 97. But, you know, here this week he was sitting, you know, 93, 96, throwing strikes with his slider is something we've added last year and continue to work on. And it's starting to, I think, find its groove. And once he has that slider thrown for strikes with that movement, now you've seen his strikeouts total, you know, kind of really, really creep up because now guys just can't sit on fastball.
Well, I'll ask you to speak for Dan. Is this lineup pretty well set now with Vanskoy at third base and Taylor in center field moving Turchin over? And it looks to me like you're just solid all the way through that lineup.
Yeah, it's nice. We have three, you know, basically we have three center fielders in the outfield, and we do have four shortstops in the infield. You know,
really?
Spillane was a shortstop. Spillane was a shortstop in high school. So was Massey. And then Vanskoy was a shortstop at junior college. So it's nice when you have, you know, those athletes to move around the field and that can make plays and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be pretty much your dominant lineup, barring, health issues and whatnot. You know, I do like the guys we have on the bench as well that's come off and come and had some good at-bats right away. There's a lot of interchangeable parts and some depth there, which, if you know baseball, you've got to have depth because it will come up. It will find you both in the pitching staff and, you know, through little nagging injuries here and there. So, you got to have that ability to plug and play, which, you know, this roster, I think, from, you know, 1 to 27 on the travel roster is deep.
Drew, I wanted to ask you about next year in that this team, by and large, if I'm correct, will be back next year. And obviously the sky's the limit right now for 2018, but these guys are playing like this now and they get better. 2019 could also be really good.
Yeah, that is true. You know, we're going to lose a couple guys just draft-wise, which is good, but you know, the entire pitching staff will be back, probably minus one, maybe two guys. We have some really good arms coming in as well, two junior colleges arms and two very highly touted high school arms to come in as well. So we'll be really deep on the mound. And, you know, from the lineup standpoint, you know, those outfielders, those three outfielders in Brent Spillane and whatnot, it'd be interesting, you know, just kind of curious to see what happens in the draft with those guys and whatnot, and that's, like I said, we'll worry about that later when it happens. But, yeah, I mean, you definitely can sit there and be optimistic for 2019 already, but, you know, I want to enjoy the moment and enjoy this season and hopefully, you know, have the season we all, you know, hope and have worked for.
When you look back on the very successful clubs you've been a part of, obviously 2015, but the year before that was really good too in 2014, and other clubs too, do you see any threads in there that you go, yeah, this team too may have some hallmarks of a really good club? And I'm not saying, you know, put a stamp on, well, this means you're a super regional team or whatever, but just, you know, a successful club.
No, it is very similar. I mean, you could, if you really want to take it, there's, you could, you know, compensate or compare a lot of guys on our team right now to the 15 club and say, yeah, we got this, we got that. Like I said, the only difference was in 15 club, they also had one in 14, and we got screwed on the bubble. We should have been a regular club that year, and obviously that whole club was freshmen and sophomores in 13 when we went to regional. So those guys had won. That's the only difference, I think, from those clubs to this club was, hey, they had won for 2 years. This club has not won. We won. This club, in essence, has won six games. but I love our chemistry. I love the talent that we have on the lineup, obviously. And if you look, you know, so high talent lineup, we're not even hitting 250. So, you know, so we're doing it on both sides of the ball. We're making the pitches when we have to, getting the hits when you need to. And that's all baseball is about. coming out big in the big moments. And you've seen a lot of good teams in the past. You know, we just played UCLA. They won a national championship in 2012, and they hit 241 because they got timely hits and they could pitch it. You know, so, you know, for us, everybody's talking about our offense. And I plan at the end of the year, everybody talking about our pitching, because I have the utmost confidence that when it comes time, our pitching will be where it needs to be, and our offense will be there, and we're going to be a very dangerous club.
A big story on Spillane in the paper, he's got that glorious right-handed swing that looks like he should be left-handed. You know, left-handers seem to have a natural swing. He's got a natural swing, but 2 years ago, he started the season at third base, I remember, and
right.
I think he got hit. I think he got beaned, didn't he? And how much did that set him back?
He did, Lauren. And what happened was he came in that year in the fall and didn't play because he got hit basically by a 90-mile-an-hour fastball in the head in the summer coming into his freshman year in college, and had a back concussion, and then his concussion symptoms really lingered for a really long time. We finally got him back ready to go for the season, and what happens? You know, eighth at bat of the season, boom, hit in the head again.
Oh, no, twice?
And so he got hit in the summer coming into our season. So the fall he couldn't play because of concussion symptoms. He hasn't passed anything. And then his freshman year 2 years ago, he gets hit in the head early on the season. And again, boom, those concussion symptoms were back again. And again, it lingered for a really long time. So that year ended up being pretty much a wash. He came back a little bit late, real late in the season, and you could tell he wasn't himself.
Are you doing anything special to protect him now?
No, I mean, nothing you can do. You wear the helmet, and you hope not to get in the head again.
Yeah, I just wonder if they'd use a special helmet or something like that.
Yeah, no, there's nothing you really can do. But, you know, last year, then he had some, you know, low night injuries as well. But you saw the back half of the season, what he did. He was really our best hitter. And, you know, if you're around practice and running ball time, you know he's just freakish athletic skills and ability to hit the ball a long ways. And you're really starting to see it come out. I mean, sure, I think he probably would have, Scott, you could help you on this. He probably had at least three, maybe four home runs this weekend if he played anywhere else, because the only thing that stopped him was that big old baggie in right field.
Yeah, and he was just flipping it over there. It didn't even look like he was swinging that hard.
Yes, he's in practice at Illinois Field, he'll flip balls 420 feet opposite field. He literally is a guy, I mean, I would not be surprised at the end of the year that he could be a guy you're like, oh my God, he has 21 home runs. You know, that's the kind of power and the kind of ability he has. And what's going to be great about it is you hope that, and you continue that everybody around him is going to be good as well. So you're going to have no choice but to pitch to him. But if you don't choose to pitch to him, you got to face Yellowitz, you got to face Massey, you got to face Turchin, which any good lineup does. It does. There are no weak spots or weak points, which allows all guys to be next man up. Or it's okay, I'll pass. You want to face me? I'll pass the baton to the next guy, and he'll get the job done. So our depth again is going to reign supreme, hopefully, throughout the season.
Drew, before I let you go, it's that time of year, so I want to take you down memory lane for a moment. When I say the words spring training, what comes to mind for you from your times going to spring training with Oakland?
Optimism. Each year is a new year. You know, for me, at the beginning of my career, I was having great years, so I was always optimistic to get back and, you know, looking, hoping to make a chance to get to the big league. And then later in the career, it was optimism as well, because maybe you had a bad year and you were optimistic at what a new year could bring, a clean slate, you know, zeros across the board, and a chance to better yourself. You know, it was just another year of baseball. And for each year of baseball I got to play, we're lucky. You know, as players, you never know when your career is going to end. So for me, it was another time to cherish, hopefully a full season. Because like I said, at some point somebody tells you you're not good enough to play or takes your jersey off your back. So you got to just cherish that year to come and work hard.
Did you usually have an idea of what level you'd be in, or were you trying to earn a spot at the next level up?
The first 3 years I kind of knew where I was going to be at. My first year was A ball. My second year I was in Double A already. My second full year I was a starter in Double A. Third year, I knew I'd be back at Double A as a starter. And then my fourth year, I was actually trying to make a spot on the Triple A team. I had some big league time as well up in spring training. I didn't expect to make a big league club, obviously, but I wanted to make a spring training club. I was spring training for Triple A, and then actually that's the year I got released. So I made neither.
Well, Drew, appreciate you spending some time. One thing's for sure, it's a fun ball club to watch right now, so hope you can enjoy the ride.
I will. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right, Drew Dickinson spending some time with us, pitching coach for Illinois baseball. They're 6-3, play a doubleheader as it stands right now on Saturday down in South Carolina in Greenville. We're the home of the Greenville Drive, by the way, and that is the affiliate of the Boston Red Sox. The ballpark there where the Illini will be playing has the same footprint as Fenway and even has the Green Monster.
Really?
Yeah. And
they built one, huh?
Yeah, and we're going to broadcast from the top of that Green Monster this Sunday, one of the games. We're planning to do it Sunday morning. It's a 10 a.m. first pitch. Don't forget your time change this weekend, by the way. So wake up, have brunch with Illinois baseball, and we'll be perched atop the Green Monster in Greenville,
good,
South Carolina.
Well, Spillane hits one your way, duck.
That's right. I'll let Brett Moore catch it. So, all right, thanks to Drew Dickinson. We've got more when we come back. We'll football, first day of spring practice. We've got some high school basketball. Certainly could welcome your calls and texts if you want to go back to Illinois basketball in the future there. I know, Lauren, you started to talk about LaRon Black, and that's the subject for your upcoming podcast. So a lot of directions here to go in our remaining time on Sports Talk.
Hi, it's Dave Gentry. Join us on the DWS Morning Show for Champaign Mayor Deb Frank Finan. That's Wednesday morning on DWS.
5:48 here on Sports Talk. Blake Land is our producer-engineer. Thanks to him, I'm Scott Beatty along with Lauren Tate. Day one of football spring practice. Lovie Smith out there with a boot on.
Yeah.
But that's all right. He doesn't have to play.
That's right. He didn't have to run.
He just said he's a grandpa now. I heard him say he's a grandpa now, and he's got grandkids that are college age. And I think that was a reference to him saying sometimes when you get to be my age, things get break and they need fixes. You would know maybe better than I would.
They wear down.
You're a great grandfather, but you seem to still have pep in your step. So.
Oh yeah. Well,
anyway, what did we learn out there at practice?
Not a lot. I mean, I saw they had the two quarterbacks, Cam Miller and of course the starter who is almost alone. The only one on scholarship, Cam
Thomas.
I just don't know where they stand on that. I don't think he was as accurate as Rod Smith. What is the first day of practice? Some balls were thrown inaccurately, and some balls were dropped, and that always happens. And they're just getting started. There's no hitting today. Just interestingly, the offensive line was about the same as it was last year with Kramer at center, and they had Bedarian Lowe at one of the tackles, and they got. They're lining up offensively almost the same as last year. They got him back at tight end. They've got the receivers. Smalling is going to be there. Dudek looked good. I mean, the offensive unit is pretty much the same with the one problem, whether the quarterback situation can be properly resolved. Defensively is another story. Linebacking is going to be thin.
And interestingly enough, Justice Williams, who was a linebacker last year, now lining up at receiver. And that was an interesting choice to me, only in that they were so thin already at linebacker. You'd think they'd need all the bodies over there. I don't know what precipitated that.
I don't either. That's a mystery to me. And Mays is back, by the way. You know, he had left once and announced that he was gone, and then he's back as a receiver. So they've got enough receivers. They've got Green. They've got enough guys there. The real thin area to me is linebacker. And Phillips will be definitely a starter, and I think Hanson will be a starter, and probably Harding will be the third starter there. But you know they're going to be using five defensive backs an awful lot, and when they do that, they'll pull out a linebacker.
Also, running back's a bit of a question mark to me.
Well, I didn't see Epstein out there running today.
Yeah, I've heard he's not practicing right now.
He's on the sideline. But Bonner looked good to me today, and I think he would be the starter maybe if Epstein is not back.
Yeah, I think Dre Brown would get some carries, maybe
sure.
Reggie Corbin. I mean, they got a full stable, but I just, how good will Mike Epstein be when he's healthy again? Because he's basically sat out almost all season after starting off with a flash.
Well, he'll work into shape this summer, I'm sure, and he does have some natural talent. It's a long grind, and they've got to make a lot of improvement in a lot of positions. Offensive line has to get a lot better than it was last year. And the defense was, of course, very low rated also.
Then there's the mystery right now of Verdis Brown, and he's just not practicing.
I've solved that mystery. It's academic.
Mm-hmm. All academic.
Well, he's got, you know, a transfer from IMG. I guess they have to get some grades straightened out there. And so he's not injured. And he, by the way, he's put on 30 pounds or so. He looked big.
He looked really big.
He's way over 300.
I was going through the roster today, and there were a lot of guys looking at their freshman listings, and I was just updating it in a little spreadsheet I have, and add 10 pounds, add 20 pounds, a couple of guys really jumped. And that's good. You know, you assume that's all muscle, obviously, and that just means guys are going to get bigger and stronger as you need them to be.
Yeah, we find out things in the weight room that when you – very often you find out in the weight room first and then you see it on the field where guys make a big dramatic improvement. And we saw that last year with Hobbs and some of the other guys. By the time that you got on the field, you know, they're – accomplishments in the weight room preceded them, and you watched them more closely because you heard that they were really improved, and sure enough, there he was starting.
Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217 texture says, going back to basketball, I thought Mark Smith would be good, but he wasn't going to be in the big plans. Io, Frazier, and Ramey equal Flying Illini Part 3.
Well, that'd be a good three-guard lineup. I will say that.
Still need a 4 and a 5.
You still need a 4 and a 5, and if you're going to play defense, you got to have some you got to have some people with athleticism back there.
And we had a caller earlier. We weren't able to get him on while we were talking with Drew, and just wanted to know if there's any information on Lou Henson and how he is doing.
Well, Lou's having a tough time right now, and he went back to the hospital yesterday. And he'll be there for several more days, and then I don't know. He's either going to return home or I don't know where I don't know what they're going to do.
Say home here or New Mexico?
No. He's here. I mean, I just meant back to his house. His home here when he gets out, or whether he will go to a nursing home or something like that to recover, because he's had another little relapse here. And I wasn't going to bring it up, but he's fighting it. I mean, Lou's really fighting it, and he's a great warrior, and he's proven us many times when we doubt how, you know, whether he's going to make it or not, he makes it. So, but yesterday was a tough day because Mary had to put him back in the hospital.
Yeah, it's tough, and she's carrying a lot too. Our thoughts and prayers with Lou and Mary. Back in a moment. Sports Talk here on this Tuesday. Scott and Lauren with you. Tomorrow, plan to have Shannon Ryan from the Chicago Tribune with us.
She's been busy with that other league, hasn't she?
The representative from the state of Illinois that will make the NCAA tournament.
Loyola.
Yep. It's been a really neat story for them. It's a little bit depressing to think that Loyola is the only... I say that, am I going to get caught here? Is there any other team from this state that will be in the tournament?
Good question. I haven't checked it.
Because they beat Illinois State.
Yeah, and Illinois State beat Southern. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that anybody else has got a chance, but, you know, there's still tournaments going on, and there might be an Illinois team in one of those tournaments.
Illinois men's golf is at the Southern Highlands Collegiate today in Las Vegas. Right now, the Illini are at 10th. They are, as a team, 10 over. They're in the final three right now, 9 over today.
Did you notice that Dylan Myers was not in the lineup yesterday?
Yeah, I did. It was Baumgartner that was the leader for the club yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, Miller, Meyer didn't play.
So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Hopefully it's nothing serious for him, nothing that will keep him out long term. All right, Lauren, thanks much.
All right.
Lauren Tate has his podcast, by the way, coming out tomorrow. Tate Lines Podcast. You can find it at What's that?
That'll get me in trouble.
Number one priority for the Illini. We'll see what Lauren has to say about that tomorrow. Thanks to our guest, Drew Dickinson. Thanks, Blake Landa, behind the scenes. Thanks to our callers and texters. Most of all, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Back again tomorrow at 5 o'clock. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Time and tone, 6 o'clock. Good night.